Which is Bhagavad Viraha Vila is the actual name. Saptarshada Bhagavad Viraha Janita Vila. Song in separation from the Lord and his devotees. So they projected their religious climate here. So we'll sing this song. And before we do that, let us sing. I'll read the translation so we know what we're singing. So, first verse, Ye Anilo Premadana, Karuna Pachur, Heno Prabhu Kota Gela, Acharya Thakura. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a person as Srinivas Acharya gone? Kaha Mora Swarupa, Kaha Sanata, Kaha Dasa Raghunatha Patita Pava. So Kaha means where. Where are my Swarup Damada and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Kaha Mora Vata Yuga, Kaha Kaviraj, Ekakale Kota Gela Gora Nataraj. Where are my Raghunath Vata and Gopal Vata? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? Pashane Kutibo Mata, Anale Pashibo, Gauranga Gunera Nidi, Kota Gele Pavo. I will smash my head against rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Se sabha sankirna sange, ye koilo vilas, se sangha napaya kande, narota das. Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastime, Narottam Das simply weeps. So it's a very beautiful song of transcendental emotions in separation from the devotees mainly, but also from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we normally sing this on the main disappearance day. Okay, so here we go. Can someone play this? I'll just sing. Ye anilo prema dana karuna prachur. Ye anilo prema dana. Acharya says to Srimad Bhagavatam, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada
Jai!
Esam Sangracharya Srila Prabhupada
Jai!
Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada
Jai!
The disappearance day Srila Prabhupada
Jai!
Disappearance day Srila Prabhupada
Jai!
God bring an end day
Srila
Prabhupada Jai! All glories to this
day. Chapter 55, the last chapter, the final lesson. Let me just see here. Okay. Yes, yeah, so we'll read from there, we'll read a few excerpts from here and there in that particular chapter. Let us see how it goes. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasada Uttare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Hari Pracharya Nirvichaya Shukrani Namaste Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Nanda Sri Aditya Nanda Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let me just begin by saying that when Srila Prabhupada left this world, personally I was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, England. And we knew, it was well known, not for a long time, perhaps it might be a month or two, not more than a couple of months. It was known that Srila Prabhupada's health was extraordinarily poor physically. No one that I know of, and certainly myself, and no one who I've ever discussed this with, no one thought that Srila Prabhupada was going to leave this world. Sri Sri Radha Radha Sri Kiri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. No one thought that Srila Prabhupada is in the process or it's just going to come to that. There have been a fair number of times, I don't know how many, several times or something like that, over the years that I have been a devotee since the beginning of 73. There had been a number of times, say several times, a couple of times a year it would happen, that Srila Prabhupada would get very sick. And You know, of course, in those days, communication was not as fast or easy as it is today. But one way or another, the word would go out around the movement that Srila Prabhupada is really not well, and we should have kirtan. So, at those times, we would have 24-hour kirtan. 24-hour kirtan at Bhaktivedanta Manor, where I was a lot of the time, particularly the last 3 years I was there most of the time. Well, actually, last year and a half that Prabhupada was present. So we had 24-hour kirtan. And it would go on for some days, it might go on for a week even, usually maybe 3, 4, 5 days. And then the word would come, Prabhupada's recovering, so the 24-hour kirtan would stop. And life would just go back to usual. So, but now this time though, 1977, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada had visited, he wanted to make a little tour, he wanted to go to America, where everything started, but he got as far as England, and he stopped there and he stayed there. And I remember when Srila Prabhupada came off the airplane, or came out from the buildings, the terminal buildings, on a wheelchair, he looked completely different from any time we'd ever seen him. He looked much more frail, much more frail. Even the color of his skin was different, sort of darker and grayer, and he was a lot thinner. And he arrived at the airport, he was driven to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and then he was taken upstairs on a palanquin, couldn't walk. And he was taken upstairs in a palanquin, and we all, as many as could, sort of crowded into his room. And Jayatirtha was the GBC at the time. And so Jayatirtha was right next to Prabhupada, when Prabhupada sat at his seat at the back or front of the room by the windows. And Prabhupada said to Jayatirtha, it was hard to hear, but we all heard, that your name means Tirtha, or holy place, and devotees take shelter of the holy places, and I'm come to take shelter of you. So we never heard him say, at least there in England, we never heard him say anything like that. But still it didn't really register, even though Prabhupada's physical condition was really quite a bit worse, a lot worse, than any of us had seen before. But it didn't really register that maybe Prabhupada's thinking as well. So Prabhupada stayed for his Vyasa Puja day, the Janmashtami, his Vyasa Puja day. He stayed for a little while. I forget how long. He stayed at least a week, as I recall. And he would come down on the palanquin he'd be carried down for Guru Puja. And after some days, he returned to India, and eventually he went to Vrindavan, and he stayed in Vrindavan till he left this world. And Jayatirtha, the GBC, was called to Vrindavan. Prabhupada wanted all the GBC members to be there. But still it hadn't registered. amongst so many of the devotees, at least if not all, that Prabhupada really seems like he just, it's sort of physically impossible for him to keep living much longer. Then I remember that day, it was November the 14th, 1977, and I have a little office upstairs in the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and the temple president, Vichitravirya Prabhu, he came in. Dhanavir Prabhu came in, and he looked like he was in a state of shock. Although, again, it didn't really register so much. And he said, Richard Trevelyan Prabhu would like to see you. Please go down to his office. So I went down to the president's office on the ground floor in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And then Richard Trevelyan Prabhu told me, Srila Prabhupada has left this world. You know, actually it must have been on the 15th morning, because Prabhupada left on the 14th night at about 7:30 or 7:38, something like that. Indian time, and this is England, and the time difference is 5.5 hours. So it must have been 15th morning. Yeah. And he told me Jayatirtha Prabhu has telephoned from Vrindavan and informed him that Srila Prabhupada's left this world. And that was what he told me. So it was quite an unreal experience. I've never really had an experience like that before. Where he told something, and it's really very shocking and just very unusual, but so unexpected that it's just very hard to relate to it. And for some hours in Bhaktivedanta Manor, life went on as usual. But as the word was going out, even though the activities were going on, the worship of the deities, the cooking, and the various things were going on, but there was this mood, it's almost like you could say a mood of emptiness, almost sort of semi-robotic, that the devotees were just doing things somehow, but the consciousness was really elsewhere. And then gradually it sank in, and devotees became more and more emotional. And one of my regular services was every evening, the book distribution parties would telephone in with their scores. There were maybe 10 book distribution parties traveling around the country, including Ireland, and everyone had a 15-minute slot to call in, and they'd give their scores and we'd say a few words, and I had to tell the devotees that this is the situation and that they should come back to Bhaktivedanta Manor immediately. And it was the same thing that I told them. And it was like a silence, and just, oh, I see. And that was really that. And I think the next day, it might have been sort of the 16th, it might have been the 17th, one devotee came from Vrindavan who had been there. What's his name? Oh. He's an artist and sculptor and sings Bharadvaj. Gaurabhaj Prabhu returned from Vrindavan and had been there. He had been there through the whole event. And so he gave class that morning, and it was like a 2 or 3 hour class, just very, very detailed. For the few days before, all the different things that happened, and the people who came, and the people who, like doctors who were engaged, and already the feeling of loss and the realization of the loss had begun to really sink in. So it was a very, very emotional time, extremely, extremely emotional time. And the fact is that for a few days, basically, except for the deity worship, the Hare Krishna movement just stopped. And everyone was just in the temples. And there was kirtan, and there was guitar, and there was worship of the deities. But it took some days before the movement really, again, the devotees, there was a lot of preaching about how Prabhupada would want us to carry on and not really become sort of devotionally paralyzed. But what an experience. And I remember myself, I had a particular duty overseeing the printing of Prabhupada's books in England, books and other things. So I had to go out and visit different people to order things. And I remember I would just play a recording of Bharat Raj's class just for at least a week or 10 days. That was all I just played. What an experience. It's kind of almost indescribable, but it certainly is very difficult to really describe. So let us read then some things here. Well, what had happened was that in Vrindavan, like we mentioned, the GBC members were called, most of them came, not all of them actually, but most of them came. And Prabhupada gave some last instructions over a period of some days. It wasn't just like one day, it was just over a period of little time, maybe a couple of weeks, something like that. And there was one incident, perhaps you've heard about it, when Kirtanananda Swami, who at the time was like the most senior disciple, he was pretty young, he was like the most senior disciple. So he came with a small group of devotees. And well, there had been a discussion with Prabhupada that, are you really going to leave this world? And Prabhupada had been kind of non-committal, we will see, sort of thing. Yes. Not like, yes. Well, in fact, it's described here. Yeah. Let me just read this part. So Prabhupada, So Prabhupada, the devotees asked him, within a few minutes, all the available GBC men and senior sannyasis were gathered in the outer room. These Prabhupada's where his bed is now, if you're familiar with his quarters at the Krishnadaram temple. Brahmananda was feeling very low, that he told Prabhupada that everything would go on without him, and that Prabhupada had replied that he would therefore die. The devotees remained amazed at Prabhupada's statement that Krishna had given him freedom to do as he liked. These words now struck like a thunderbolt. With these words, Krishna has given me the choice. Prabhupada turned all the devotees' minds in a different direction. Abhiram reminded them that Prabhupada wanted them to discuss about his recovery, and now they were having that discussion, but they were confused and bewildered by the sudden change in Prabhupada's mood. Kirtananda Swami's senior-most disciples spoke up with clarity and logic. If Krishna has given Srila Prabhupada the independence to choose, that means he also has given us the independence. So we should assert our independence and ask Srila Prabhupada to stay. One by one, devotees spoke up in support of the decision to ask Srila Prabhupada to stay. Yes, it was a fact that the Krishna consciousness movement would go on without Srila Prabhupada's physical presence, but it wouldn't be the same. Yes, and Prabhupada hasn't finished translating Srimad Bhagavatam, said Ramananda. Yes, said another, we should ask Prabhupada to stay for at least 5 or 10 years. 5 or 10 years? We should ask him to stay for 100 years. But not all of the GBC members are here to decide. There's a little going back and forth. Well, who in the GBC is going to say that we shouldn't ask Prabhupada to stay? They were in agreement. They did want Prabhupada to stay, and they should express their desire to him. So, it was about 3:30. It was one morning in October, does it say exactly? So, okay. It was about 3:30 p.m. when they formed a group. When the 20 devotees entered Srila Prabhupada's room and crowded around his bed, Srila Prabhupada lay with his eyes closed, motionless, but alert to their presence. Kirtananda Swami had been chosen to be the spokesman, and as he leaned over to speak to Srila Prabhupada, his lips began to tremble, his eyes filled with tears, and he broke down sobbing. With his head at the side of the bed, Srila Prabhupada reached out but could not find Kirtananda. Who? Said Prabhupada. Many voices spoke, Kirtananda. Srila Prabhupada then laid his hand on Kirtananda's head and gently rubbed it. So what do you want? He asked. No one could say anything, as they were all waiting for Kirtananda. Ramananda was rubbing Kirtananda on the back to soothe him, and Tamal Krishna was encouraging him to try to say something. Finally, after another minute of emotional waiting, Kirtananda raised his head. He looked at Srila Prabhupada and pleaded, if Krishna gives you the choice, then don't go. We need you. So this is your joint opinion, asked Srila Prabhupada. You have discussed? He held his hand in the air and moved it around so as to indicate all the devotees. Ramananda Swami spoke out very emotionally but positively. We have all been together, Srila Prabhupada. We want you to remain and lead this movement and finish the Srimad Bhagavatam. We said that you must remain for at least another 10 years. You've only done 50% of your work. Srila Prabhupada was listening very carefully without any movement. But when Brahmananda said 50%, he frowned and said, no. Finally, he uttered a hmm. He was considering the proposal. His eyes were still closed, and he seemed to be consulting Krishna from within himself. Several times he uttered, and everyone was held in suspense, not able to speak or think or do anything except look intently at Srila Prabhupada. Then, with his eyes still closed, he yawned, and his gold teeth began to show. All right, he said. It was probably the most casual sounding decision on life or death ever made. At that moment, the devotees understood Srila Prabhupada's independent position. He could stay or go as he chose. That became so faithless, however, that they were thinking that his passing away was inevitable and could not possibly be delayed even by Srila Prabhupada himself. Now he displayed his wonderful transcendental nature with a simple yawn, all right, as if choosing between life and death was the most unimportant thing in the world. Prabhupada had again proved himself to be beyond understanding. The devotees laughed nervously, unsure what was appropriate. Not knowing whether to laugh or cry, they fell silent again to see what Prabhupada would do. So, give me something to drink, he said. And all the devotees shouted, Jai Prabhupada! He would stay with them. It was confirmed. Everyone was greatly relieved. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, they said. This is real affection, Prabhupada replied. So, that was in October. Prabhupada left this world on the 14th of November night. Yeah, there are different interactions. You can read. This is now the second to last chapter of Leelamrita. So now we come to the last chapter, the final lesson. Despite his promise to live, Srila Prabhupada said his life was still in Krishna's hands. Everything was. His free choice did not mean he was absolutely independent. Rather, the pure devotee's attitude is to freely surrender to Krishna whatever happens. Srila Prabhupada had already expressed his surrender in the prayer he had given his disciples to offer on his behalf. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. I remember we would chant this prayer every day, a few times. After Mangalarati, we would chant it in Bhaktivedanta Lila. Before Srimad Bhagavatam class, we would chant it. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. By the phrase, if you so desire, he was reminding his followers of the supreme prerogative of Krishna and was asking them to abide by it, although he was also giving them an acceptable way to petition Krishna. As Prabhupada had said when invited by Kirtananda to come to his palace in New Vrindavan, let us see which palace I am going to. So let's read just some of the very last part of this chapter, the description of the actual departure, or just leading up to the actual departure. Up until the end, there are interludes of sweetness, as well as displays of Prabhupada's indomitable mood of fighting for Krishna, One day Prabhupada's sister Bhishma arrived unexpectedly, and Prabhupada asked her to cook khichdi. At that time, Kirtanananda was trying to put Prabhupada on the road to recovery by gradually increasing his liquids. And Kirtanananda and the other devotees opposed the idea of suddenly eating solid foods. But Srila Prabhupada insisted, "It doesn't matter whether what she cooks does good to me or bad," said Srila Prabhupada. She is a Vaishnavi. It will be good for me." He then began speaking in an extremely humble way. "Probably I became a little puffed up because of my opulence and success," he said. "Now God has shattered that pride. If you don't have your body, what is there to be puffed up about?" But Chirusvami protested, "Srila Prabhupada, whatever you've done for Krishna." "That may be," Prabhupada said, "but in this world, unknowingly you commit offenses." When Bhishma heard this, she explained, No, he never committed any offense." "You cannot ever commit offenses," said Bhakti Churu. "You are God's very dear one. How can you commit offenses?" "I'm a little temperamental," said Srila Prabhupada. "I used to use words like rascal and so on. I never compromised. They used to call it a club in one hand and a bhagavatam in the other. That is how I preach. Anyway, make arrangements for my sister." There were also visits from Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, and again Prabhupada asked forgiveness for his offenses. One time, Miss Kinchana, Krishnadas Babaji, Puri Maharaj, Ashram Maharaj, Ananda Prabhu, Purushottam Brahmachari, and about 20 others came and sat next to Prabhupada's bed. He was resting when they arrived, and they joined the kirtan until he awoke. When he saw them, he asked to be raised up. Sitting in the center of his bed with his godbrothers all around, he addressed them. "All over the world there's a beautiful field to preach Krishna consciousness," he said. "I didn't care whether I would be successful or not. People are willing to take. They're all taking also. If we preach together, the saying of Mahaprabhu, Priti Viti, will come true. We have everything. Spread the holy name and distribute prasadam. There's a beautiful field in Africa, in Russia, everywhere they're accepting." When Prabhupada began asking his godbrothers to forgive him, they protested, You're the eternal leader," one of them asserted. "You rule over us, guide us, and chastise us." "Forgive all my offenses," Prabhupada repeated. "I became proud of all my opulence." So there's one special incident, just very shortly before Prabhupada left, and I want to just read that, and then we'll finish. Srila Prabhupada had heard of the program of his disciple Lokanath Swami, who was taking a small group of men on a bullock cart and preaching in villages throughout India. Lokanath had told Srila Prabhupada how, in the course of their travels, they recently visited theatres such as Vajragashram and Bhim Kapoor. Srila Prabhupada was enlightened to hear this, and he then evolved a transcendental desire to go himself on a cart pulled by bullocks to circumambulate the area of Vrindavan. Tamal Krishna Bhavananda, who was serving Prabhupada with increased intimacy, felt themselves unable to support Srila Prabhupada in his desire, since they thought his fragile body could not survive such rough treatment on the roads. But Srila Prabhupada reasoned that dying on parikrama is glorious. and he asked them to take him. A controversy developed among the devotees, as some said Prabhupada's will to go on parikrama should be immediately honored as an order from the spiritual master. But he wanted it and he should not be denied. The doctor, however, assured them that Srila Prabhupada's body will not survive the jostling of the car. The many devotees who crowded around Srila Prabhupada's bed had different opinions, and Prabhupada could see this. Following his request, however, Lokanath went out and hired a cart with bullocks and prepared it for the ride. Lokanath and Hansaduta suggested that the parikrama could go to the city of Vrindavan or visit the seven main temples of the Goswamis. But then they said that since the next day was Govardhan Puja, Prabhupada could go to Govardhan Hill. So that means that Govardhan Puja was just on Tuesday, today's Thursday. It means it was like on our Monday, 3 or 4 days before this whole event is happening. Tamal Krishna, Bhavananda, and Bhakti Charu, however, protested adamantly against the parikrama. One day experiment, Prabhupada said. It is for one day. Rest assured I will not die in one day. He liked the idea of going to Govardhan. And we shall make our cooking there, he said. Lokanath Swami, he assured them, was experienced. Make very good picnic, he said. After discussing back and forth, the devotees finally decided that early the next morning, means the Govardhan Puja day, they would take Srila Prabhupada in a bullock cart to Govardhan. The majority of the devotees then left Srila Prabhupada alone for the night. Later that night, Srila Prabhupada received a visit from Miss Kitchener Krishnadas Babaji, who sat with Prabhupada, chanting and sometimes speaking in Bengali. Suddenly, Tamal Krishna and Bhavananda came to Prabhupada's bedside. They were in tears and beside themselves with anxiety. Prabhupada understood. You request me not to go? He asked. Well, Srila Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna, I'll tell you, I'm getting so upset sitting in the room upstairs. I was walking around. Two of the devotees told me that this road is so bad that if you go on this road, you're going to be jolted back and forth. The road is terrible. I just can't understand, Srila Prabhupada, why it has to be tomorrow that we have to go. Of anybody that wants you to travel, I do. But why do we have to go when you're in this condition? I can't understand it. Why are we throwing everything out the window that we must go tomorrow? I can't understand. All right, said Srila Prabhupada softly, immediately agreeing to their proposal that he not go. Jai Srila Prabhupada, said Bhakti Churu, who was also present. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhavananda, with great relief. All right, you're satisfied? Now I am, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhavananda. Yes, I was in too much anxiety. Never mind. I shall not put you in anxiety, Prabhupada said. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said to Mal Krishna, we're so much attached to you that you practically drive us to madness sometimes. Tonight we were becoming mad. No, no, I shall not do that, said Prabhupada. Babaji Maharaj. Prabhupada turned to the scripture that Krishna asked Babaji and said, just see how much affection they had for me. Srila Prabhupada said to Mal Krishna, the way you deal with us simply deepens our attachment every moment. It is my duty, said Prabhupada, and the devotees laughed warmly, understanding. Yes, they could understand that was his duty. By all his actions and dealings, Prabhupada's intention was to capture spirit souls and deliver them to Krishna. His method was loving service, but he did not do it for himself. He was delivering them to Krishna That was his duty. Then, on November 14th, 1977, at 7:30 p.m., in his room at Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada gave his final instruction by leaving this mortal world and going back to God. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Go pray to that day.
Hare
Krishna. All right. I think we'll finish here. And we'll gather again at, what is it? 10:30. At 10:30 for the Abhishek and then the ongoing program. Hare Krishna.